Imagine waking up, you pour your morning coffee, you check your local market report, and you see this headline.
Right.
And it says the average price of a condo in your city just plummeted by like over $140,000.
In a single year.
Right, in a single year. I mean, you would probably panic.
Oh, absolutely. You'd assume the bottom just fell completely out of the market.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think your hard-earned equity was just wiped out overnight.
Yeah, and that selling right now would just be an absolute catastrophe.
But what if I told you that massive, terrifying price drop actually masks a hidden trend?
A very positive trend, actually.
Right, a trend indicating your specific, you know, middle market home might actually be worth more and selling faster than it was a year ago.
It sounds like a total contradiction, I know.
It really does.
But that is exactly the kind of statistical illusion that happens when you just rely on raw, uninterpreted data.
Yeah, just reading the headlines.
Right. The market right now is just full of these massive numerical paradoxes where the surface level numbers are essentially lying to you.
And that is exactly what we're dissecting today. Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everyone.
Glad to be here.
So we are anchoring this discussion in late April 2026.
Which is a very specific, very important time of year for real estate.
Right, because tax season has finally officially wrapped up.
Thank goodness.
Seriously. But it means people have absolute clarity on their balance sheets, right?
Exactly. And for some people, those refund checks are finally hitting their bank accounts.
Yeah. Plus, we are coming right up on Arbor Day.
Arbor Day, yeah.
Which, I know it sounds a little poetic, but this time of year historically triggers a very real, almost biological urge in the market.
Oh, it really does.
It's the literal and metaphorical season for, you know, putting down roots.
The timing is just critical to understand buyer psychology here. I mean, spring has always been the starting gun for real estate.
Right.
But when you combine the finality of tax season with that psychological shift of spring, you get this massive release of pent-up demand.
People are ready to move.
They are. Mm. Buyers suddenly know exactly what they can afford, and they want to be settled before the heat of summer.
And before the start of the next school year, definitely.
Exactly. But as we're going to see today, navigating where and how they are planting those roots requires a level of precision that a generic national news headline simply cannot provide.
Which brings us to the whole mission of today's deep dive.
Let's get into it.
If you are a property owner or, you know, if you're a prospective seller eyeing this post-tax season window, you need hyper-local, actionable intelligence.
And not just broad strokes.
Right. So to get that, we are pulling our insights straight from the Q1 2026 Market Walk report.
A great resource.
And the highly detailed March 2026 monthly MLS summary report.
Yes.
Now, before we go any further, I have to establish some local credibility here.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I have to, because these reports are provided by the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems, Inc.
Right.
And if you are reading that acronym, it's NTREIS.
Right.
But locally, it is universally pronounced NETTRES.
NETTRES.
It rhymes with rust. NETTRES.
It really is the ultimate, like, shibboleth, the North Texas market.
That is.
If you say NTREIS, letter by letter, every professional in a 50-mile radius immediately flags you.
Oh, it's done.
They flag you as someone who's just relying on a national algorithm from some coastal tech company rather than actual localized expertise.
Exactly. So we have the NETTRES data. And while this report covers the entire massive, sprawling Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex.
Which is huge.
It's giant. We're putting a microscope strictly on Tarrant County today.
Okay, zooming in.
Yeah. We want to examine the exact fault lines, the hidden traps, and the surprising opportunities here.
There are a lot of them.
So our ultimate goal today, by the time we finish unpacking the mechanisms behind all this data, you're going to see why navigating this shifting landscape requires a human algorithm.
A human algorithm. I like that.
Thanks. Specifically, it's why you should be reaching out to David Peet at Peet Realty.
Absolutely.
Because as we're about to discover, the data is just full of landmines. And you need someone who knows exactly where they are buried.
Well, before we start zooming in on the micro markets and specific neighborhoods of Tarrant County, I think we really have to establish the macro baseline.
Okay, lay it on us.
We need to understand the larger economic weather system that North Texas is operating within.
Because that affects everything downstream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because those macro forces, like interest rates, regional inventory, broader buyer sentiment, those dictate the boundaries of what is possible locally.
I see the value in setting the stage. So looking at the March 2026 regional data, what is the overarching narrative?
Right.
Because the numbers on single-family homes look incredibly contradictory to me.
Ah, they do. The overarching narrative is really what happens when buyer demand remains high, but affordability hits a hard ceiling.
Okay.
Let's look at the single-family residence data first. Sales volume across the entire North Texas region is actually up 6% year over year.
About 6%?
Yeah. We are talking about 7,750 closed sales in just the month of March.
Wow.
That generated nearly $3.9 billion in total transaction volume.
$3.9 billion.
That is a massive, highly liquid market. Capital is absolutely flowing.
Nearly $4 billion in 30 days. I mean, that implies a very healthy, a very active buyer pool, right?
Yes.
But here's the contradiction I'm really struggling with.
Okay, let's hear it.
My basic understanding of economics, like the Spanard supply and demand curve,
right?
It dictates that if sales volume is increasing by 6%,
yeah,
if that many more buyers are successfully closing on homes, prices should be rising.
Logically, yes.
Right. Yet the data shows the average price of a single family home actually dipped 1%. Down to $502,255.
And the median price dropped 3%.
Exactly. Down to $388,495.
Yeah.
So how does a market absorb 7,750 buyers and still see median prices fall?
It's a fascinating disconnect, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it highlights a really crucial mechanism of real estate economics.
Which is?
The shifting composition of sales.
Shifting composition, okay.
Yeah. When we see high volume combined with a dropping median price, it doesn't necessarily mean every single home is losing 3% of its value.
Okay, so my house isn't necessarily worth 3% less.
Not necessarily. What it usually indicates is that the mix of homes being sold has fundamentally shifted. The action has moved down the price ladder.
Walk me through the mechanics of that. How does that happen?
Well, let's factor in the reality of the 2026 economic landscape, right? Buyers are dealing with a specific interest rate environment.
It's not a tough one.
Very. They have strong incomes, which is why they can still buy. But their monthly purchasing power is capped by those rates.
Right. The monthly payment is what matters.
Exactly. So a buyer who might have comfortably purchased a $500,000 home, say, 3 years ago,
yeah,
they are now looking at a $400,000 home just to keep their monthly payment identical.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because the entire buyer pool is basically stepping one rung down the pricing ladder to preserve their monthly budget. The bulk of those 7,000 plus transactions are happening at lower price points.
So the high-end homes just aren't selling as much.
Right. High-end expensive homes are sitting longer, or they're just not being listed at all.
Mm-hmm.
While the 350K to 400K range is just seeing furious activity.
So all that action at the bottom drags the mathematical middle downward.
Yes, exactly. This drags the median price down, even while total sales volume goes up.
So it's not that a specific $400,000 house is suddenly worth $388,000. It's that more $388,000 houses are selling compared to like $600,000 houses.
Exactly.
Pulling that median down.
You've got it. Furthermore, we have to look at the post-tax season inventory bump.
Okay, what's that?
Sellers have finally recognized that the wild, desperate bidding wars of the early 2020s are over.
Yeah, no more waiving all contingencies and paying 50 grand over asking.
Right. If they want to capture one of those spring buyers, they have to price aggressively. The market is pretty saturated with options right now.
Okay.
And when supply outpaces even this strong demand, sellers just can't push the envelope. They are pricing to sell, not pricing to test the waters.
That makes the single family market sound incredibly pragmatic, actually.
Very pragmatic.
Buyers and sellers are both acting rationally within the constraints of their budgets.
Absolutely.
But if we look at the other half of the market,
oh,
the attached housing, the condominiums and townhomes, that rationality just seems to vanish entirely.
It really does.
I mean, the data there looks like a completely different economic reality.
It is the exact inverse of the single family market.
Let's hear it.
While single family saw volume go up and prices go down, condominium sales volume actually dipped by 4% year over year.
Volume went down.
Yes. We only saw 222 condo sales across the entire region.
That's a tiny number compared to the 7,000 single family homes.
Tiny. But the average price for a condo exploded.
Right.
It went up a staggering 31% to 488,192.
31%.
Yeah. And meanwhile, townhouse sales plummeted by 17%.
Okay, a 31% jump in average price while the number of sales is dropping. We initially talked about this like a seesaw, but that metaphor doesn't really work here.
No, it doesn't.
It's more like looking at a thermostat in a massive house where all the windows are open.
Okay, I like that.
You know, the single family room is cooling down while filling up with people. And the condo room is suddenly boiling hot but completely emptying out. The average temperature of the house tells you absolutely nothing about how to dress.
That is a much more accurate metaphor, honestly.
Yeah.
A 31% increase in average condo prices to nearly $500,000 is a massive red flag that we are dealing with a heavily skewed data set.
Skewed how?
When you only have 222 transactions, the data is incredibly fragile.
Okay.
It doesn't take a widespread appreciation of everyday condos to move that needle. All it takes is the closing of a brand new, ultra-luxury high-rise development in a major urban center.
Oh, like in downtown.
Exactly. If 20 multi-million dollar penthouses close in a single month,
that ruins the curve.
Violently drags the average price upward, creating the illusion that condos are suddenly this premium asset class across the board.
And meanwhile, the 17% drop in townhouse sales, does that point back to the affordability issue? Because townhomes are usually the stepping stone between a condo and a single family house, right?
Yes, it points to a freeze in that specific middle market transition.
A freeze?
Owners of townhomes might have locked in highly favorable mortgage rates years ago.
Oh, the golden handcuff?
Exactly. They have no financial incentive to sell their townhouse and trade up to a single-family home at a higher price and a much higher rate. So they just sit tight.
That makes total sense.
Inventory dries up and sales volume plummets.
So if I'm sitting here listening and I own a standard 3-bedroom single-family home.
Okay.
The immediate macro takeaway is that I have to be brutally realistic.
Brutally.
I cannot look at the $3.9 billion changing hands and assume I can slat a premium price tag on my property.
You really can't.
The buyers are out there, but they are discerning, they are rate sensitive, and they have options.
Yes.
If I misprice my home in a market where the median is naturally drifting downward by 3%, I'm going to be left behind.
That is the harsh truth of the current market. The days of aspirational pricing, you know, listing your home for 10% over the last comparable sale just to see what happens.
Just testing the waters.
Right. Those days are suspended. If you overprice today, your property will sit. The listing will get stale. Buyers will assume something is structurally wrong with it.
Yeah, they'll think, why hasn't this sold?
Exactly. And you will eventually find yourself chasing the market down with incremental price cuts.
Mm.
Ultimately selling for less than if you had priced it correctly on day one.
Man. Which highlights the ultimate danger of relying on broad regional data. Because no one buys a house in, quote, North Texas.
Right.
They buy a house on a specific street in a specific neighborhood zoned for a specific elementary school.
Yes.
The regional data is just the weather report. We need to look at the actual terrain.
Let's do it.
Which brings us to Tarrant County.
Tarrant County is a spectacular ecosystem to analyze because it is just so diverse.
It really is.
When you map out the municipalities within this county, you realize very quickly that treating it as a single entity with a single average price is just a recipe for disaster.
It's way too complex.
It is a highly fragmented tapestry of microeconomies.
I want to list these out, actually, just so the listener understands the sheer variety of micro markets we are dealing with inside this one county's data set.
Go for it.
Okay, we have Fort Worth, which is the massive urban anchor.
Right.
But then we have Arlington, Grand Prairie, Mansfield, Burleson, Benbrook, Azle, Saginaw, and by the way, if you want to flag yourself as an outsider, pronounce that last one wrong, it's Saginaw.
Saginaw, yes.
We also have Hazlitt, Keller, Southlake, Grapevine, Colleyville, that's C-A-W-L, evil, folks.
Yep.
Bedford, Hearst, Euless, pronounce Euless, North Rutland Hills, Haltom City, and Watauga.
It's quite a list. And when you look at the economic drivers of those specific cities, the complexity becomes obvious.
How so?
Well, you have the increasingly vertical, dense urban centers of downtown Fort Worth, driven by corporate jobs and walkability.
Right.
Then you have the sprawling, massive suburban entertainment hubs of Arlington, which is uniquely affected by short-term rental zoning and hospitality infrastructure.
Sure, with the stadiums and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you have the ultra-high-end exclusive enclaves like Southlake and Colleyville.
Oh, yeah.
where zoning heavily restricts density to preserve massive lot sizes and, frankly, legacy wealth.
Right.
And then you have the foundational blue-collar working-class neighborhoods in places like Halton Fitty or Watauga.
The starter homes.
Yes, which are the absolute engines of the first-time homebuyer market.
So if I'm a seller in Halton City and I see a headline that says, you know, Tarrant County average home prices are $450,000.
Yeah.
And I try to price my 1980s starter home using that county average.
Oh, no.
I am going to fail spectacularly.
You are, because that county average is a mathematical fiction.
A fiction.
Yes. It is being violently pulled upward by an $8 million custom estate closing in Southlake.
Right.
And it's being pulled downward by a distressed wholesale fixer-upper in a different zip code.
That makes total sense.
Your home in Halton City has absolutely nothing to do with either of those properties.
Nothing at all.
If we cut this back to that spring post-tax season buying rush we discussed earlier.
The putting down roots idea.
Exactly. That rush manifests in entirely different ways depending on which of those cities you're standing
in. Let's explore that. How does that urge to put down roots look different in, say, Keller versus downtown Fort Worth?
It really comes down to purchasing triggers.
Okay.
Keller is a heavily family-driven submarket. Real estate there is intimately, almost entirely, tied to the school district calendar.
Oh, I see.
When a family gets their tax refund in April, the clock starts ticking. They're aggressively trying to secure a home, negotiate the contract, close the deal, and get the moving trucks unloaded before the new school year starts in mid-August.
So the urgency is totally calendar-driven.
Entirely. But if you look at the condo market in downtown Fort Worth, or the urban core of Arlington, the buyer demographic shifts.
Right, less kids.
Exactly. You are looking at young professionals, empty nesters, or corporate relocations. They are not tied to a school calendar at all.
What are they tied to, then?
Their purchasing triggers might be tied to corporate bonus structures or sudden interest rate dips,
right,
or even municipal announcements about new public transit lines.
I see where this is going, and it raises a massive red flag regarding how most people determine their home's value today.
It absolutely should.
Because if Tarrant County is this incredibly fragmented, if the buyer motivations in Keller are diametrically opposed to the motivations in Arlington,
yeah,
how on earth does an automated online estimate, like an algorithm from a major real estate website, know the nuance between a home in Azle versus one in Grapevine?
The blunt reality is, it doesn't.
It just doesn't.
It doesn't. Algorithms are fundamentally historical math engines.
Math engines.
They operate on spatial proximity and past data. They just draw a geographic circle around your house, look at what's sold in that radius over the last 6 months, apply a standardized appreciation or depreciation curve, and spit out a number.
But they lack context.
They completely lack context. They lack the localized human context that actually drives value.
Right.
An algorithm doesn't know that one side of the street feeds into a highly desired, top-rated elementary school.
While the house directly across the street,
50 feet away,
yeah,
feeds into a different district entirely. The algorithm prices them exactly the same.
Wow.
It doesn't know that a massive new commercial logistics park was just approved 2 miles away.
Right, bringing a bunch of jobs.
Making a specific neighborhood in Mansfield incredibly desirable for management-level employees relocating to the area.
Or conversely, it doesn't know the difference between a house whose backyard backs up to a serene, protected greenbelt.
Yes.
Versus a structurally identical house 3 doors down that backs up to a noisy 24-hour four-lane highway.
Exactly. To the algorithm, they're the exact same square footage in the exact same zip code.
That's crazy.
Relying on those algorithms strips the nuance out of the market. And when you strip the nuance out, you end up with some absolutely wild statistical paradoxes.
Paradoxes that can lead sellers to make devastating financial decisions.
Very devastating. In fact, to truly understand how dangerous uninterpreted data can be, we need to look no further than what is happening right now, this very second, in the Fort Worth condominium market.
This is exactly what we teased at the very beginning of the deep dive.
It's a perfect example.
When I was reviewing the notes last night, this specific section of the Resi sale condominium data for the city of Fort Worth broke my brain.
It's a trip.
It really is. Let's dive deep into this. I'm going to read these numbers and I want you to break down the mechanics because at first glance, the math feels literally impossible.
Let's lay out the numbers.
All right, let's look at a historical snapshot first. March 2025, 1 year ago.
Okay.
In the city of Fort Worth, there were exactly 13 condo sales.
Just 13?
Right. The average price of those condos was $240,069.
Okay.
The median price was $75,000.
Big difference there.
Very big. They sat on the market for an average of 173 days, and there was 9.3 months of inventory available.
Got it.
Okay, now let's fast forward to the current report. March 2026.
Here we go.
Sales volume went up slightly to 18 sales.
Okay, a little bit.
The median price went up, rising from $75,000 to nearly $89,000. $88,750 to be exact.
A nice increase for the median.
But the average price completely fell off a cliff.
It plummeted.
The average dropped from $240,000 down to $99,148.
Wow.
That is a drop of over $140,000 in 12 months.
It looks terrible on paper.
It does. How does the middle of the market, the median, go up by almost $14,000 while the average tanks by $140,000? Are people buying half a condo? What is mathematically happening here?
This is an absolute masterclass in market data literacy. And it perfectly illustrates why those national headlines can cause such unwarranted panic.
I mean, I was panicked reading it.
To understand the mechanism behind this paradox, we have to deeply separate the concept of average from median.
Okay, this is a classic median versus average distortion.
Exactly.
Let's map out exactly how an outlier skewed this for Fort Worth, because I know there's a great analogy for this.
Yes. Let's use the classic billionaire in the bar scenario to visualize it.
I love this one.
Imagine you are sitting in a normal, everyday neighborhood bar in Fort Worth.
Okay.
You're in there with 9 other people. You all work standard jobs. The average annual income of the 10 people in that room is, say, $60,000.
Sounds about right.
Suddenly, a tech billionaire walks in, orders a drink, and sits down.
Okay, so now there's 11 people.
Right. The average income of the 11 people in that bar just shot up to over $100 million. But the median, the person sitting exactly in the middle of the pack, if you lined everyone up by income,
their salary hasn't changed at all.
Exactly. It's still $60,000.
So the billionaire warped the mathematical reality of the room without changing the actual financial reality of the regular people in it.
Exactly. So let's apply that mechanism to Fort Worth in March 2025.
Let's do it.
There are only 13 sales. That is a tiny, highly volatile sample size.
Very small.
The median price was $75,000. That tells us that the normal, everyday condo, the unit exactly in the middle of the pack, sold for $75,000.
Okay.
But the average was $240,000. That tells us with absolute mathematical certainty that out of those 13 sales, one or two of them were ultra-luxury penthouse units.
Oh, I see.
Maybe they were massive custom units overlooking Sundance Square or the Cultural District.
So those one or two multi-million dollar sales drag the average way, way up, just like the billionaire in the bar. Okay, that perfectly explains the past. So what changed in the mechanics of March 2026?
In March 2026, the luxury outliers simply vanished. No billionaires walked into the bar.
They just didn't buy anything this month.
Exactly. The ultra-high-end properties didn't trade hands this month. Without those massive multi-million dollar sales to prop up the math, the average price came crashing down to reality.
Landing at $99,148.
Yes. But here is the crucial hidden truth that the headlines completely miss.
Median.
The core working class middle market condos actually gained significant intrinsic value. The median price rose from $75,000 to $88,750.
Wow. So if I am a normal person owning a normal middle market condo in Fort Worth,
yep,
my actual property value went up. My investment is performing beautifully. It grew by over 18% in a year.
Yes. Your specific sector of the micro market is significantly stronger and more valuable than it was a year ago.
But if I wake up and read a generic, algorithmically generated news headline that blasts, you know, Fort Worth condo prices crashed by 60%.
Which is technically true.
Technically, mathematically true based on the average.
Yes.
I might absolutely panic. I might think my equity has been destroyed. I might decide to delay selling my property, cancel my plans to move, or fire my agent. All because I think the market is collapsing.
And you'd be making a huge mistake.
Because in reality, for my specific unit, the market is incredibly hot.
That is the profound danger of uninterpreted data.
Yeah.
It influences human behavior in really destructive ways.
It really does.
And there's even more nuance to this specific Fort Worth condo paradox when we look at the velocity of the market.
Velocity.
Look at the days on market metric. It plummeted from 173 days last year down to just 70 days this year.
That's a massive acceleration. Homes are selling more than twice as fast. Buyers are just snatching them up.
They are. The velocity is high. But we have to cross-reference that with the inventory metric.
Okay, what does that show?
Despite homes selling twice as fast, the overall inventory actually grew from 9.3 months to 13.5 months.
Stop right there. We need to define months of inventory for the listener because intuitively, that makes no sense.
It sounds contradictory again.
It does. If things are selling faster, shouldn't the supply of inventory be shrinking?
Let's define the mechanism of months of inventory, which is also called the absorption rate.
Absorption rate, okay.
It essentially asks this question. If not a single new condo was listed for sale starting today,
right,
how long would it take for the current pool of active buyers to purchase every single condo currently sitting on the market?
Oh, I see.
A balanced market where neither the buyer nor the seller has a distinct advantage is usually considered to be around 6 months of inventory.
6 months is balanced.
The 13.5 months is incredibly high. It is a heavily saturated market.
So to explain the paradox, the days on market metric only measures the properties that actually successfully closed.
Right.
So the ones that are selling fast in 70 days.
Yes.
But there is a massive pile of other condos sitting unsold, pushing the inventory metric up to 13.5 months.
That's the shadow inventory.
Why is that pile so big? Where is this flood of inventory coming from?
We have to speculate based on broader economic trends, but there are a few likely culprits for this shadow inventory finally hitting the active market.
Okay, what's number one?
First, we could be seeing the completion of mid-sized multifamily projects that broke ground during the peak optimism of 2022 and 2023.
Oh, and they are just now delivering units.
Exactly.
That makes sense. What else?
Second, you have investor rotation. Investors who bought condos as short-term or long-term rentals a decade ago might be looking at the high carrying costs now.
Like what?
Rising HOA fees, huge property taxes, massive insurance premiums.
Insurance has been crazy.
Right. And they're deciding to liquidate those assets to move capital elsewhere. When all those investors hit the exit at the exact same time, inventory just balloons.
That paints a very clear, very intimidating picture.
Very intimidating.
Because if I am trying to sell my condo in Fort Worth right now, I am staring down a terrifying 13.5 months of competition.
Yep.
There is a glut of supply. There are for sale signs in every window of my building.
Everywhere you look.
If I try to rely on an algorithm and get my pricing wrong by even a few thousand dollars.
You're stuck.
Or if my marketing photos look like they were taken on a flip phone, I am going to rot on the market for over a year. I will become part of that unsold inventory pile.
You have to sit there.
But if I have a hyper-local expert who understands this paradox, who ignores the average, prices exactly to that rising $88,000 median, and aggressively markets the unit,
yeah,
I could be out of there in 70 days with a check in my hand.
That is the exact takeaway. The data proves that the Tarrant County market is extremely unforgiving to mistakes right now, but highly rewarding to absolute precision.
Precision is key.
The 91.4% sold-to-list ratio for those successful sales really confirms this.
Right.
Buyers are willing to pay close to asking price, but only for the units that are priced correctly relative to the true median market value.
Not the aspirational value.
Exactly. This is why you need a human being who understands the context behind the spreadsheet.
It's fascinating how the core of the market is behaving.
Truly.
But it's not just condos and single-family homes acting strangely.
Oh, not at all.
When we pull the lens back even further and look at the fringes of the market.
The alternative property types.
Right, the alternative property types and the raw dirt. The trends get even wilder. We've talked about the single-family thermostat and the condo paradox, but let's dive into the outliers.
Let's do it.
Because sometimes the edges of the map tell you where the center is heading.
The outliers are crucial. In real estate economics, the fringes often serve as early indicators.
Like the canaries in the coal mine.
Exactly. They show us how buyers and capital are creatively adapting to the economic environment when the traditional paths become blocked.
Let's start with manufactured homes.
Okay.
According to the IntrustRaise report, manufactured homes saw a massive 38% year-over-year jump in sales volume across the region.
Huge jump.
And the median price for those units rose 5% to $242,000.
Yep.
Now, I don't care what industry you're in, a 38% jump in transaction volume in a single year is not a statistical blip.
No, it's not.
That is a stampede. What is driving that mechanism?
If we synthesize what this means, it points directly, undeniably, to an intense affordability crunch in the traditional single-family market.
Right.
We have to connect the dots back to the macro data we started with. The median price for a traditional single-family home is hovering near $388,000.
Right.
When you combine a $388,000 purchase price with the interest rates holding steady in 2026.
It's a heavy lift.
The sheer monthly carrying cost, the principal, the interest, the property taxes, the insurance, is simply an impenetrable wall for a massive portion of first-time home buyers.
I see the logic, but doesn't zoning heavily restrict where you can even put a manufactured home in a densely populated place like Tarrant County?
It does.
So how are they absorbing a 38% increase?
That is the brilliant part of how the market adapts. Yes. Traditional urban zoning is restrictive, but the definition and quality of manufactured housing has fundamentally shifted.
How so?
We are not talking about the flimsy aluminum-sided trailers of the 1980s.
Right, not the stereotypes.
No. Modern manufactured homes are built to HUD codes. They have drywall, pitched roofs, modern insulation, and they often look indistinguishable from traditional stick-built homes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Furthermore, buyers are looking at the geographic edges of the county. Places like Azle, Saginaw, or the unincorporated areas just outside the city limits.
Okay, where zoning allows for these structures.
Right. Either on individually owned plots of land or in high amenity land lease communities.
So the buyers are getting highly creative.
Very creative.
They are looking at the math, realizing the traditional single family path is blocked, and making a calculated pivot.
Exactly. Buyers are seeking alternative paths to achieve the fundamental goal of home ownership and equity building.
Yeah.
A manufactured home at a $242,000 median price point represents a realistic, achievable entry point.
Their monthly payment is actually manageable.
Exactly. They are willing to shift their aesthetic expectations and perhaps commute a little further from the urban core in order to get their foot in the door of property ownership.
That makes total economic sense. The pressure in the middle pushes everyday buyers outward toward alternative housing.
It's a pragmatic, highly logical response to a tough single-family market.
Now let's swing the pendulum to the absolute opposite end of the economic spectrum.
All the way to the top.
We've talked about how the working class buyer is adapting to affordability issues. Let's talk about what the absolute peak of the market, the ultra high net worth capital, is doing.
Let's look at premium undeveloped dirt.
Yes, specifically land sales in Southlake.
This is a completely different psychological and economic landscape.
It has to be.
This is where capital preservation and extreme patience become the defining metrics.
You aren't kidding about patience. Looking at the IntrustRaise data for land in Southlake, Tarrant County for the month of March 2026.
Yep.
There was exactly one sale.
Just one.
One single piece of dirt traded hands. But here's the kicker. It sold for 113.6% of the original list price.
A massive premium.
Somebody paid an aggressive premium over the asking price. However, to get that premium, the seller had to sit on the market for an agonizing 567 days.
Over a year and a half?
That's insane.
Over a year and a half of carrying costs, property taxes, and uncertainty.
It's incredible. Selling land in Southlake right now is literally like fishing for a marlin with a solid gold hook.
I love that analogy.
You have the most premium bait in the ocean, but you might have to sit in the boat for 567 days.
Mm, getting sunburned.
You're going to get sunburned. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to wonder if there are even any fish left in the ocean. And your accountant is going to yell at you about the carrying costs.
They absolutely will.
But when you finally get a bite,
yeah,
it is a monster. They don't just pay what you ask. They pay 113% of what you ask.
It perfectly encapsulates the mechanics of premium, illiquid assets. The Southlake land data proves a very specific economic point.
Which is?
The immense wealth is still there. Ultra high net worth buyers still exist in North Texas, and they have the capital.
But they are picky.
Very. They are not buying just to buy. They're willing to pay aggressively, but only for the exact right piece of property to build their legacy custom estate.
The pool of buyers who can afford to buy premium dirt and then float a multi-million dollar two-year custom construction project is incredibly small.
Tiny, hence only one sale.
Right.
And this dictates the strategy. You cannot expect a 30-day or even a 90-day turnaround on a hyper-premium specialized asset like Southlake Land.
No way.
It requires extreme psychological patience from the seller, but more importantly, it requires massive marketing stamina from the real estate agent.
Marketing stamina.
Your agent cannot just throw a photo of a grassy field on the local MLS and forget about it for a year.
Right. That won't work.
They have to actively, constantly market that land to the right private wealth networks, to high-end custom builders, to corporate relocation executives, month after month.
They have to maintain the perceived premium value of that dirt so that when the right buyer finally shows up on day 567, they see the value and are willing to pay the premium.
Exactly.
Right.
Which, again, is a strategic endurance game that an algorithm simply cannot play for you.
Right. An algorithm will tell you to drop the price by 5% every 30 days until it sells.
And by day 567, the algorithm would have priced that premium Southlake dirt like a bargain bin lot.
The algorithm degrades value over time.
But a true professional sustains it. And just to add one more layer to this wild outlier tapestry, look at the condominium data in Weatherford.
Weatherford, okay.
Which sits just outside the immediate urban core of Tarrant County. There were three sales in March. The average price was an astonishingly low
$22,667. $22,000.
And they sat on the market for 239 days.
$22,000 for a condo. In 2026, what is the mechanism there?
That specific data point likely indicates deeply distressed properties.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about older units needing total, down to the studs rehabs, perhaps located in communities with highly restrictive or financially insolvent HOAs that make traditional financing impossible.
So you need cash buyers willing to take on massive renovation risk.
Exactly. It perfectly illustrates that just because you are operating in a broader regional market where the average condo is nearly $500,000.
The hyper-local street-level realities dictate your actual asset value. So let's connect all these economic threads. Let's extrapolate this map of Tarrant County based on these forces.
Okay.
We've got a single-family median approaching 400K, pushing buyers downward.
Right.
We've got a massive 38% surge in manufactured homes driven by the hunt for alternative affordability.
Yep.
We've got premium Southlake land taking a year and a half to absorb ultra-wealthy capital. As these pressures mount, how does this physically redraw the real estate map of Tarrant County?
It changes everything.
Are we going to see places like Saginaw or Hazlitt, those slightly further out suburbs on the frontier of the county, suddenly experience a massive boom in alternative housing or high density developments?
It is more than probable. It is the inevitable result of capital migration.
Capital migration.
Capital always seeks efficiency as the urban core of Fort Worth becomes denser and more expensive.
Even with that middle market strength we discussed.
Right. And as traditional suburban hubs like Arlington or Keller reach their practical price ceilings, the buyer pressure naturally hydraulically pushes outward. Places like Saginaw, Hazlitt, and Azle, which historically have had more available undeveloped land.
And slightly more relaxed zoning.
Exactly. Accommodating alternative builds. They become prime targets for this displaced demand.
Wow.
Buyers who are priced out of a traditional aging single-family home in Bedford might happily deploy that same capital to buy a brand new high-end manufactured home or a smaller footprint high-density home in Saginaw.
The map is literally being redrawn by affordability constraints. The center pushes the edges outward.
It is a constant living evolution, and managing your personal real estate asset within that evolution requires serious dedicated local expertise.
Okay. So let's bring this all together. Let's bring this massive economic weather system right into the living room of the person listening to this deep dive right now.
Let's do it.
Let's look at the board. You've got single family homes dropping in median price while seeing massive billion dollar volume.
Yeah.
You've got Fort Worth condos experiencing severe statistical paradoxes between medians and averages that make the headlines look terrifying.
Terrifying headlines.
You've got manufactured homes surging as people desperately seek affordability. And you've got premium land taking a year and a half to find a buyer who will overpay.
It's a wild board.
If you are listening to this and you are thinking about selling your property in Tarrant County during this spring rush, How on earth do you navigate this? How do you avoid stepping on a financial landmine?
The singular, undeniable takeaway from all of this data is that the only way to navigate a market this complex is to not do it alone.
Don't do it alone.
And more importantly, to not rely on generic national tools that completely lack local context.
This is exactly the strategic advantage we've been building towards since the intro.
It really is.
The NTRIAS data we've unpacked today proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the spring 2026 Tarrant County market is deeply complex.
Yeah.
It is highly localized, shifting block by block. It is full of statistical traps like misinterpreting average price drops as market crashes when your specific property's median value is actually rising.
Right.
This is precisely why, if you own property here, your very first move must be contacting a human algorithm.
There's that phrase again.
I'm sticking with it. You need to contact David Peet with Peet Realty before you make any decisions.
Absolutely.
Before you paint the kitchen cabinets, before you pick an arbitrary listing price based on some online estimate.
Please don't do that.
Before you even start dreaming about buying your next house, call David.
From a purely analytical standpoint, I have to validate that approach completely.
Right.
When you are dealing with extreme statistical anomalies, like trying to sell into a 13.5-month condo inventory glut, while simultaneously knowing that correctly priced homes are moving in just 70 days.
You need someone who knows exactly how to thread that needle.
Exactly. Someone with over a decade of experience, like David Peet, is invaluable because he acts as a risk mitigation tool.
Risk mitigation.
He hasn't just read about real estate cycles in a textbook. He has actively managed assets through them.
He's lived it.
He sold real estate through the chaos of the late 2010s, he navigated the wild, unprecedented swings of the early 2020s, and he understands the nuanced, rate-constrained market of 2026.
He has the battle scars, and he actually knows how to read the map. He knows the terrain.
He does. He understands intrinsically that the underlying economic drivers in Grapevine behave entirely differently than the drivers in Benbrook.
Right.
He knows the zoning laws in Hazlitt. He knows that if you are selling a condo into a saturated 13.5-month inventory, you need a vastly different staging, pricing, and digital marketing strategy than if you are selling a single-family home in a tight, highly competitive Keller School District neighborhood.
That is so true.
Algorithms calculate based on the past. Experienced agents strategize for the future.
Algorithms calculate. Experienced agents strategize. That is the quote of the day.
I'll take credit for it.
I am speaking directly to you, the listener, right now. Whether you are prepping for a late spring listing right now as Arbor Day approaches, and you're feeling that urge to put down roots.
Yes.
Whether you are just wrapping up your tax planning and trying to figure out where to park your wealth, or even if you are just curious about how much actual usable equity you are sitting on.
Just curious, yeah.
Relying on national news anchors or generic online estimates is going to cost you real money.
It really will.
It will lead you to underprice your home in a strong micro market or overprice it in a shifting one, leaving you stranded as inventory.
Stranded for a year.
You need a local Sherpa to guide you through this complex terrain. David Peet at Peet Realty is that Sherpa.
He is.
He knows the specific trails of Tarrant County. He knows the economic weather, and he knows how to get you to the closing table without leaving your equity on the mountain.
And in a market where buyers are highly discerning, constrained by interest rates, and armed with their own incomplete data, having a seasoned professional advocating for the true intrinsic value of your specific property
is the ultimate differentiator.
It is the difference between a frustrating listing and a successful close.
Let's take a breath and recap the massive economic journey we've just been on.
It's been a long one.
We started by looking at the macro mechanics of North Texas, unpacking why massive single-family sales volume is actually dragging median prices down as buyers shift to lower price points.
Right, balancing against the shrinking condo volume that saw exploding average prices due to luxury outliers.
Exactly. We toured the diverse, fragmented tapestry of Tarrant County, proving why the economic triggers in an urban core like Fort Worth are totally detached from the school calendar triggers of a place like Keller.
We demystified the Fort Worth condo paradox, mapping out the billionaire in the bar theory to prove why median prices tell the true story of middle market strength.
Even when the headlines scream that averages are crashing.
Right. And we explored absorption rates and the reality of a 13.5-month shadow inventory.
Then we looked at the wild frontiers of the market, fishing for marlins with a year and a half of patience in Southlake.
That was a fun one.
And breaking down the mechanisms behind a massive 38% surge in manufactured homes, driven by the everyday buyer's creative quest for affordability in a rate-locked world.
A huge shift.
And we connected all of that to the absolute necessity of having an experienced, strategic local guide like David Peet in your corner to translate the data into actual profit. If you own property in Tarrant County, make that phone call your absolute first step.
It has been a genuinely fascinating data set to synthesize today.
Really has.
And if I can leave you with one final lingering question to ponder long after this deep dive ends.
Oh, I love these. Hit me.
Look again at that massive historic 38% surge in manufactured homes set against the affordability ceiling of traditional single-family properties.
Okay.
As capital pushes outward to the fringes of Tarrant County into places like Saginaw and Azle. Are we merely witnessing a temporary economic adjustment due to current interest rates? Or are we witnessing a fundamental, permanent evolution in what the American dream home actually looks like here in North Texas for the rest of the 2020s?
Wow. That is a profound thought to chew on. Is the physical shape of the dream changing permanently? I love that question. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the true mechanics of the Tarrant County real estate market. Whether you're cashing a tax refund, evaluating your portfolio, or just thinking about the future, remember, before you start putting down roots, make sure you have an expert who knows exactly what's hidden in the soil. Until next time.